like to call to order a pre-meeting of the Westland City Council for Monday, October 4th, 2021. We are meeting in a hybrid setting today, so that means some of our attendees are virtual and some are in person. So let's go ahead and start. Jerry, do you want to walk us through tonight's proceedings?
Sure. Can everybody hear and see us? Okay, I just did.
Oh, I guess we should do a roll call first, too.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm Jules Walters, Mayor. We have with us Councilor Jones.
Todd Jones, present.
City Recorder Kathy Molesky, present. City Manager Jerry Gabrielatos.
Present.
City Councilor Mary Baumgartner.
Present.
City Councilor Rory Bielostowski.
Present.
And remind me your last name.
Bill Kabeisman.
Bill Kabeisman.
Attorney for the school district.
Okay, and we have Kathy Siliki from the Willamette Neighborhood Association.
And Laura Worth.
Okay, Laura Worth. And we also have with us Council, by via WebEx, we have Council President Bill Relier.
Present.
Okay, we have Planning Manager Darren Weiss.
Present, thank you.
We have from our Planning Department, Chris Myers.
Present, thank you.
We have City Attorney from the City Attorney's Office, Bill Monahan.
Present, thank you.
And I believe that's it, is that it? I don't have my glasses on. I should have worn my glasses.
Like
I think you got it. Okay, excellent. So let's go ahead and begin, Jerry, please.
Sure. So there's a short agenda tonight. It really is approving the agenda, public comments, and then the potential approval of regarding the appeal or denying appeal of a decision made by the planning position or planning commission. Chris Myers is here from the planning department who's worked on this from start till today, and I might hand it over to him to talk a little bit more about what's in front of the council tonight.
Sure. It's it's a de novo hearing, so we'll basically be starting over. You'll hear from myself, from the appellant, from the applicant, and then there will be some rebuttal, and Bill will cover some of this in the legal. And essentially the decision is coming down to whether you deny the appeal with conditions or approve the appeal. That's really that's the gist of the process anyway.
Okay, thank you. And Mr. Monahan, do you have any guidance for us as far as procedure goes?
Yeah, I'd just make a couple comments if I could. First of all, the Planning Commission's record is all part of your record, but as Chris said, it's de novo, which means you're going to hear the arguments all over again as the participants in the hearing choose to raise issues tonight. So when we go through the script, I want to make it clear that the appellants will go first raising their issues, then the applicant. The way that we'll conclude the hearing, though, is the applicant always has the right to the last word. So we want to provide an opportunity for the applicant and the appellants to have rebuttal. So the way it's structured within the script is the applicant will give their initial rebuttal. They'll have 10 minutes. The appellants will have 10 minutes to give what we call a sur rebuttal, and then the applicant, the school district, will be given one last opportunity, another 10 minutes to comment on what was stated by the appellants, if they made such statements. So we want to make that clear. There was also an issue that was raised that I'll address when we go through the script. As you know, during the script, I'm asked to do the legal issues and identify what the criteria are, and I'll do that. But after I go through that process, I'd like to raise an issue that came to our attention today that the staff received from citizen Carrie Oakes, who raised an issue about the notice that was used for the hearing. So there is a provision within the code 99.270, which identifies locally what you are to put into a notice of an appeal hearing. And this has a couple defects. There's the defect, for instance, doesn't identify who the appellant is, doesn't identify what the appellant's raised, and there's a reference to a section of the code that is really not a criteria, but it's identified as a criteria. So we consider those, although they're requirements stated within the city's development code, we don't see those as fatal for the conduct of this hearing, because all of those issues, the identification of the appellant, what they raised as issues in the criteria, are all within the staff report, which has been readily available throughout this time period for people to comment on. And in fact, we've received many, the staff has received many comments about those. So we do not believe that that's a procedural error that is of substance. Someone could raise that if they so chose on appeal, but at this point in time, we don't believe that there's reason to delay the hearing and have a new notice sent, because there's been so much opportunity for people to give their comments. I'll address that and make similar comments to what I just did at the end of the, after the legal challenges, if you don't mind, so that we get that on the record, so it's obvious to the community that you've heard that issue and there's been my explanation.
Does anybody have questions on that? Okay, seeing none. Go ahead, Mr. Monahan.
Then the other issue, Council Royer's has.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Council President.
Yes, thank you. Mr. Monahan, you mentioned this is going to be a de novo review. So typically in appellate matters, we place some weight on the previous court, if you will, hearing. But I think in a de novo case, as you mentioned, we're going to conduct a full hearing. And so can you help describe how, if at all, the previous hearing has any weight in this matter?
Great question. I believe that the previous hearing, as I mentioned, it's part of the record to show you how your planning commission has reviewed and evaluated the criteria, the application, and the evidence. They made a decision that's instructive to you as to how they felt. However, you're making a totally independent judgment based on your interpretation of the criteria and how it's applied to the facts in the case. So your decision is independent, but you have the value of that earlier analysis and review, similar to you have the value of your professional planning staff's evaluation and consideration of the criteria and everything that's been heard. But you're making a totally independent decision. And if I can add to that, the other thing is, if this does get called up to the Land Use Board of Appeals, decisions made by the City Council in how they interpret the criteria and the meaning of the standards that you apply, there's deference given to the City Council as opposed to a lower body such as the Planning Commission.
Okay. Thank you for the overview.
Yeah, there's, is there another question before I go on? I'd be happy to answer other questions.
Councillor Jones has a question.
Hi, Bill, this is Todd. Can you hear me okay?
Hi, Todd. Yes, I can. Thank you.
I was going to save this, but since it came up in the context of Bill's question, I'm going to ask this. Forgive me if you were going to do this anyway, but at whatever point you deem appropriate tonight, Madam Mayor, I think it would be very helpful for us to say to the audience, both audio, video, and present, to basically have you explain to them what this is and is not. Because what I mean by that is, I think that some people might come to the meeting tonight thinking that, for lack of a better way to put it, that we'll be making some kind of political decision, as in, should there be a middle school in Westland or not, and if so, should it be on this property? And I think it's going to be very important right up front to communicate to people that this is not a political decision. We're not deciding the merits of a middle school being in Westland or a middle school being on this particular property. We're not picking one side over the other. We're simply performing the same role as the Planning Commission, and that is to weigh the application against our community development code to ascertain whether or not it meets the code.
Yeah, I certainly can do that because you're absolutely correct. Any political decisions, any locational decision, choice of property decisions have been made by the school district. The city's obligation is to take an application that comes forward for the particular piece of property and the particular use and apply its standards to that. So this is simply a land use decision on how the application meets the city's code, which is compliant with state law. So I certainly can make a comment to that.
That makes sense to you.
Mm-hmm. Are there any questions on that?
Okay.
So the other, if I could, the other item I wanted to bring to your attention is, as you know, I'll be talking about the legal matters, questions of whether anyone has a conflict of interest to declare, a bias, ex parte contacts, site visits. And in that context, there's the opportunity for the public to raise challenges. And you actually have a relatively unique set of rules that are very specific as to what you do if there's a challenge. And I just want to draw your attention to that. I'm not sure if Jerry or Kathy provided you with a copy of the rules, or you can access these on the city's website at the city council's page. But on page 18 of the council's rules that were adopted in 2019, we deal with bias and disqualification. So if in fact there is a challenge of an individual council member on the question of bias, we'll give the person the opportunity to make a statement as to why they believe the person is biased. But then the counselor who is challenged will have an opportunity to make a statement. So Mayor Walters will say, does the challenge counselor wish to respond? What we want to make sure it happens, though, if this is occurring, is that any questions and challenges go directly through the mayor, as opposed to an individual asking a council member directly to comment on their challenge. So we want to keep the decorum as you always do. But the interesting thing in your rules is when there's a challenge, any challenge that's made requires a vote of the council. And you may not have run into this while you've been sitting on the council, but if there is a challenge to an individual council member, there then will be a vote taken to decide whether the city council, after hearing the councilor give a response, if they choose to do so, the remaining council members will vote whether or not to allow that council member to continue. And if there is a challenge to an individual council member, although your rules don't, well, actually your rules do say it. Any challenge to a councilor shall require a vote. The council being challenged shall not vote. And then it says, unless required by the law of necessity to do so. And I'm not really sure if the law of necessity applies in a bias case. So my recommendation would be that the council member challenged not participate in the vote if we have something come to that. Okay. I just assume that you might not have run into that before, thought it'd be beneficial to have conversation about it before the meeting, as opposed to you hearing it for the first time during the hearing.
Councilor Jones.
Hi, Bill, this is Todd.
Yes, I can hear you, Todd.
Because I am employed by the Westland Wilsonville School District, do you believe that I need to proactively announce publicly that I have no conflict of interest, that I've contacted the Oregon Government Ethics Commission and they've confirmed that, and that I have no particular bias to the district? Or do I need to, in your judgment, wait until whether or if I'm challenged?
I think it's valuable for you to be as transparent as possible. I think that's the best way to go for any counselor, for your own preservation of integrity and appearance to the community. So while you have done that, that good work of checking with the Ethics Commission, it's best to get that on the record. Then someone can decide whether they choose to still challenge if that's their choice. But that's the best course of action, best practice.
I would agree, thank you. You'll let me know where the appropriate timing is to do that?
Yes, I will. There'll be a point where I'm going to say, Does any member of the, it'll be the first point. After I talk about criteria, I'll say, does any member of council wish to declare a potential or actual conflict of interest? And if you have any need for me to differentiate between actual and potential, I'd be happy to do that.
Thank you, Bill.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? Rory?
Yeah, Bill, you and I talked earlier, but I just wanted to tell you, Mayor, that I have a statement to read regarding a petition that's in the record that I had signed before I became a counselor 2 years ago. And I wanted to make a transparent statement about that. And so I will read that at the appropriate time, but that would probably be more related to bias rather than a conflict of interest, Bill. So if you could include the potential bias as well in there.
Bias is...
I'm sorry, I'm talking at the same time you are, and it's affecting the, I shouldn't talk at the same time you are, I apologize for that, first of all, but I'm also creating technical difficulties for you. The question that we have in the script is all inclusive. It asks for declarations of potential actual conflict or bias. It's within the same question. So a typical way of dealing with this is you might go around the council to see if anyone has a comment on either one of those. So it might get a little confusing that we might be dealing with bias and conflict of interest at the same time, but it would be at the same first question.
Thank you. I just wanted to make sure I had the opportunity to address that. Thanks, Bill.
You're welcome.
Okay, and so then that would conclude the legal matters. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, and so then we go into the staff report and presentation. And brief clarifying questions of staff before moving to the appellant's argument. Then, as you said, we have the appellant, then the applicant, and then public testimony.
Correct.
Then we'll have the rebuttal by the applicant, sir rebuttal by appellant, and the final rebuttal by the applicant. Then we'll be addressing requests for continuances, if we do so.
Could I comment on that quickly, Mayor?
Please do.
Thank you. So this is not the first evidentiary hearing on this matter. So if there is a request for a continuance, the council is not obligated to grant that. It would be discretionary. But should you get a request for a continuance, if it comes from the applicant, I think you'd want to discuss that with the applicant and grant that to the applicant along with an extension of the 120-day clock, because the 120-day clock expires on October 9th. That's what the staff's calculation is, October 9th. If you grant the applicant an opportunity for more time, you should give yourselves enough opportunity for the applicant to submit whatever evidence they wish to submit, and then have the public have an opportunity to respond to that information, and then have the applicant have an opportunity to respond to what issues are raised about the information they provide. So I can walk you through that at the time, but I'm saying that all to show you we would need to be calculating the clock at the same time to give sufficient opportunity for you to get all that done and then meet and make a decision. Now, if there's a request for a continuance by somebody other than the applicant, and if you feel that you are interested in giving that time, again, I'd ask that you ask the applicant for a agreement to, in writing, extend the 120-day clock, because you don't have the ability to extend the clock unless the applicant allows it.
Okay. So I'll be looking to you for that prompt to make sure that that's done correctly.
Yes, I'd be happy to help.
Okay, thank you. Any questions on that so far, on anything so far? Not seeing any. Okay. And then that will close the public testimony portion of the hearing. And then we have questions of staff. And then we close the public hearing, and we have deliberations. And I have some sample motions here, too. Did everybody get a copy? I think this script came in at 4:01 p.m. in your email. So Council President, do you have a copy?
Say it again, what time?
I believe 4:01 PM. At least that's when I saw it in Jerry's email. I haven't checked mine, but.
Okay, I see.
Council President, do you have a copy of the motions for this evening? Okay, excellent. Does anybody have any questions?
Do we have that script? I'd love to.
Yeah, I think that's what I was trying to figure out too.
That's in the 4:01?
I think so.
Good,
Jerry, does everybody have a copy of the script?
We can print copies.
It was emailed to everyone.
It's in that email.
It was emailed to everybody at like 4:20, but we can print it too.
Okay.
That'd be great, thank you.
All right. I'm also going to just let everybody know that this is a hybrid meeting, the first time we've done it. So I know Shane's done an excellent job and Kathy and all the staff at making sure this is going to work. But just giving everybody a heads up that it is technology and sometimes it doesn't all work perfectly. And that we will all be patient and make it through.
It's also a lot of our first in-person meeting.
That's right, I know.
A lot of firsts.
I haven't seen everyone's faces in a while.
At least we can see each other's eyes.
Just our eyes, yeah, right. Okay. Anything else before we head up into the chamber?
Yeah, Mayor Walters, this is Darren.
Hi, Darren.
Hope everyone's well tonight. I just wanted to quickly go over all of the information that Chris and Kathy have been sending you to make sure everyone's got everything that was sent. There was a staff report that was posted about 10 days ago. Last Friday, there should have been a memo from Kittleson and Associates, which is the city's third traffic engineer. The Westland Wilsonville School District sent information in that was in a memo last Friday that should have been sent to you, as well as public comments that were sent to staff by noon last Friday. And then today, you should have received another memo with additional public comments. It was pretty hefty, a lot of comments in there. And then an additional memo with some more information that was submitted by the appellant. So should have had 5 different memos between last Friday and today came through.
Okay. Kathy, do you know if those are all in iLegislate?
The ones that came in today have not been posted.
Okay.
The ones that Friday. I posted ones from Friday.
Okay.
So no. They're in your email.
Okay. They're in the email. Okay. Excellent. All right. Thank you, Darren, for that. Any other comments before we close out this pre-meeting? Not seeing any.
So I have one. So yes. all the memos are posted on the meeting page. Is that correct? All the relevant memos, or some of them are emailed to us?
Yeah, the ones that came in today have not been posted.
Okay. Okay. I'll check my email.
Sorry.
Okay. We are adjourned then. Thank you.